Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's not always pretty, but it's always real. Get ready. The action starts right here, right now.
He's very entertaining. He's very funny. And his humor is often self-deprecating. It's quite endearing.
If we would have played that soundbite a few times, I really think we could offer up $1 trillion and say, who is this individual talking about? And no one would select Donald J. Trump. But yes, that's who John Hinderaker was alluding to. Chad Hartman, Shaletta Brundage, and Adam Robert Carter all here. This may surprise a few of you who've heard me over the years. I tend to complain just a little bit. I tend to whine. I tend to belabor points. I would like the entire WCCO on-air staff say together, thank you, Chad. Shaletta, you first. Go ahead. Go ahead.
My mic's broken. It doesn't work.
Adam, go ahead. Thank you, Chad.
Thank you, Chad.
Yeah. We now have two beautiful, modern Roku TVs in this room. Go ahead. Let's call Dave Lee. Thank you, Chad. Let's call can't call him. Let's call Henry Lake. Thank you, Chad. Let's call Corey Hepler. I have whined about the televisions in here. And our leader, our chief brain wizard, Shannon, said, okay, enough. I will get you a couple TVs. Beautiful televisions, by the way. I plan on taking one home, so we will have one television in here. Go ahead. Say it with some feeling this time.
No, I'm mesmerized by the TVs.
I mean, the
can you do the same for computers?
Well, no. Those are coming. Are they, supposedly. So let it go ahead.
I can't talk. I'm too busy watching TV.
Yeah.
I hope you don't expect me to get any work done.
I know. Now the TVs are so good.
And it's so clear. Look at that pitch.
We actually can see what's going on. We might get, this might be the end of fake news on this show. We actually can see what's taking place. How about the TVs behind you, Carter?
The same. I know. They look very poor in comparison.
Yes. It's like good, bad. What's the next project, Carter? What is the next project on the list?
Computers would be great.
Computers?
Yeah. New carpet.
Yeah, new carpet. How?
Oh, please, Jesus.
In all sincerity, the carpet in this room, for a germaphobe like Shaletta, this must be torture.
You know, I have some beautiful sandals, some killer manicured toes that I would just like to expose when
I come
to work.
I got a pedicure this weekend.
You told us 10 times. Yep. And I cannot because...
Would you like to see my toes?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Our carpet needs to be replaced or shampooed.
Adam, be nice if you'd step... I mean, I got the TVs done. Okay. Why don't you come in here during a Twins ball game and shampoo the carpet right here? Hey, I've got a company for us. Zero Res.
Yeah, no
spell
kidding.
It backwards and forwards. It's the same. Can we get Zero Res? Be nice. I do think we need new carpet in here. Guess?
Well, we need a lot of things. I mean, let's prioritize. What? I mean, is the new carpeting going to improve our abilities to deliver top-notch content?
Oh, we've achieved that already.
I was going mean, to say, what's,
I mean, what's left? I mean, Shaletta, we've accomplished that. I mean, mm-hmm. It's like when you go to Kilimanjaro. What's left?
Yeah. You mean Everest?
No, we go to Kilimanjaro. Oh. Actually, we go to the 10th hole at Theodore Worth. That's about the biggest hill we can climb in this show. What kind of, you know what I'd like? Shag carpet in here.
Yeah.
Oh,
Just yeah, deep,
allergy,
rich, ridden, shag carpet. You can take your shoes off on it and just walk around. Shag carpet, is that still popular right now?
I don't believe so.
Oh, I don't know. I think some places probably.
Ooh.
I think a lot, you know, very ritzy, very nice.
The Lottie Da crowd?
Yeah, you know, the room that you're barely in. I just vision white.
The dining room?
White carpet, you know, white shag
carpet. White shag carpet. At your one of your four mansions.
Yeah.
Do you have any shag carpet?
I do not.
You do not?
Mm-mm.
Shaletta? If we lined up a deal for you, hi, this is Shaletta Brundage. I'm speaking here for Sherman's Shag Carpet. Are you willing to do that? So I am. I just want to say I'm in. Sherman's?
Mm-mm.
I'm willing to do the shag carpet spot for you.
No.
I need a closed circuit of the sales staff officer. I need some new carpet. Partially because I've been practicing my awful golf swing, and I've actually created multiple divots in the carpet in my living room, and I'm not kidding. Is that a problem?
I would think so.
Yeah, that's probably a problem.
Yeah.
You know, that in the house, you shouldn't have divots in the carpet. But yeah, I mean, we now have these two TVs. You know we're going to get next? Non-dial-up computers. We're going to go for the non... But you are supposed to get in new computers, right?
I've heard that for the last few years.
Yeah.
So...
How could you be negative? We've got these new TVs in here. Wait, don't doubt.
They do me a lot of good.
Yeah. Well, you've got him staring you right in the eyes.
That's what I'm saying. It's...
Shaletta, he's already so distracted.
He's
barely interested in the show to begin with.
I think it's a mistake.
I think we need to switch these
TVs.
David Ortiz
was shot? What?
How about
this text from last night? Your news sucks. Just do the freaking news with all the commercial without all the commercial breaks. Could you at least do that? No, we have to pay bills.
Yeah, are we supposed to abandon all commercials? Meanwhile,
the freaking news.
Meanwhile, the folks behind the shooting of David Ortiz, you're better than that mistaken identity? When that story broke yesterday, I mean, just a stunning part of it. Okay, a lot of good stuff for you. Some serious topics, some nonsense. It's 10 past 12. Headline, New York Times. These people, yes, the phrase, these people aren't coming from Norway. Refugees in a Minnesota city face a backlash. This is one of the play stories in today's New York Times. Two very distinct views on refugees coming to St. Cloud. I will say this, Shaletta tried to track down so many people who were interviewed in this story, and the number of people who made themselves unavailable was rather stunning. But two people who see it very differently are going to join us on what is taking place in St. Cloud, the fear some have, the harassment this particular individual has. So two guests back-to-back at 12:35, 1:35. YouTube facing an investigation from the federal government over its inability to protect children. A good guess from the Washington Post on that particular story. Excuse me. And at 2:35, Dara. Adam, I think I've watched Judge Judy approximately, I don't know, 4 minutes. How much have you watched?
It might be 4 minutes more than me.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not saying.
I'm aware of it. I know how it's set up, but.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I made a decision and decided she wasn't any good. It just, in all sincerity, right now you can offer me a membership at Cypress Point. I know she's on somewhere here in town. I don't know what time. Somebody text me, what time is Judge Judy on?
She makes like $6 billion.
We're going to get to it here because there's also an enormous New York Times profile on her. And I'll add this since we're mentioning the texting number. When did we change? About 6 weeks ago or so, would you say?
Sure.
The overall station texts have dropped enormously. For whatever reason, we still get more texts than the other shows, but our texts have dropped down significantly also. But honestly, from the end of the Twins game to the end of BT show, there's like five texts. And there used to be 50 texts, and we normally would get 75 to 100 to 125 texts a show. And I get it, folks, that we had, you know, 81807 for a long time, and I really appreciate the loyalty and any amount of time anybody takes to send us stuff, even when it's inane, crazy, racist, foolish, whatever. But for the folks who keep texting 81807, until today, I still could look. And so even though we were getting, I think, more 81807, that parade is over. So if you do want to text us, and I appreciate when you do, it's 651-989-9226, or that's it. We don't get it. So again,
you know, you could just put WCCO into your phone.
Yeah, simple.
Put the one number, and you can either text or call it.
That's it. It's very simple. Marketing maven, Adam.
Text Carter. WCCO. You could do it voice activated.
Yes, right there. 651-989-9226. Judge Judy. So let's talk about this a little bit. She makes $47 million per year. The highest by far. No one is close. The show started in 1996. It has been the highest rated first run syndicated show for the last 10 years. The last 13 years that Judge Judy and Oprah, you've heard of her, right, Adam? Oprah had just a smidge of success. The last 13 years, when you compared Judge Judy's ratings with the most successful media person in the last, I don't know, 50 years of this country? I mean, who knows? She decisively beat Oprah. I never would have guessed that. Would you have guessed that?
No.
No way. Oprah decisively beat her. 13 straight years. 10 million is what she's normally getting. Ellen, as an example, just as a contrast, 2.9 million are some of the numbers she gets. Judge Judy was a family court judge from 1982 to 1996. And then the New York Daily News did a lengthy profile on her while she was doing that. And then guess who jumped in? 60 Minutes. And then guess what was going on? The O.J. Simpson trial. And so they gave her this show, and she is killing. By the way, she was involved in 25,000 court cases when she was a family court judge in New York. She obviously has had remarkable success. Remarkable success. What's the hook? I don't watch it. You don't watch it. Shaletta, Judge Judy, are you a Judge Judy aficionado?
Love her.
Okay, you love her. So Shaletta's going to tell us why she loves Judge Judy. Why is Judge Judy the juggernaut? She looked at Oprah and said, Oprah, I'm better than you. And beat Oprah 13 straight years. Top rated show last 10 years. She's making almost $50 million a year. She sold the library to the show to CBS a couple years ago for $95 million. Why is the Judge Judy show so remarkable? What are we missing? I'm not saying I've watched it and I don't like it. I just haven't watched it. Text me 651-989-9226. Or guess what? Call the same number, 651-989-9226. It's 1222. That is the Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to create a more energy-efficient home with Season Guard Windows. Among the texts here on the phenomenon of Judge Judy. Judge Judy will tell it how it is, and we'll call stupid people out every time, and that's entertaining.
Yeah, that's what I think straight talk came to my mind. By the way, the texter is right. It's Channel 9, Fox 9, 4 and 4:30, back-to-back.
Oh, back. So they do double duty?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They don't keep me here because I'm pretty. That's another line, apparently, Judge Judy says. This person, Judge Judy is a senile right-wing hack. She would have been called a hanging judge in the Old West. That's the only reason people like her. And many Republicans like her because they think she's anti-liberal. I didn't realize there was
a political slant.
I didn't realize there was a political, you know.
You think she'd be at one of these rallies with the president then?
Okay, Shaletta, you're all in on Judge Judy. Why do you find her fantastic? And obviously you're with a lot of people, and by no means is it only Republicans. I'm not accepting that premise. Shaletta, Judge Judy.
She's so real. She, like Adam said, she tells us like it is. She doesn't hold any punches. You know, she looks at you, and if you're being stupid, she'll tell you you're being stupid. If she thinks you're lying, she's going to call you a liar. She's so real, and she's down to earth, and it's like hanging out with your auntie. When, you know, your crazy auntie who likes to drink, she just tells it like it is.
I call that person Adam.
You know, Oprah is kind of otherworldly, kind of, you know, goddess, you know, just like way up there. Right, right. And you need that every now and again. But sometimes you just want to get down in the gutter and have a little fun. And that's what Judge Judy
is. Get down in the gutter. You think she advertises? Hey, come on and get down in the gutter.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're suing each other for all kind of crazy stuff. And somebody doesn't want to pay. And these are regular folks, you know, folks you are related to. Everybody can relate. My 97-year-old grandmother watches Judge Judy every day. Doesn't miss it.
Okay, how different is Judge Judy from Judge Wapner?
I think it's just the evolution of that form.
Yeah.
It's just another iteration.
The same way.
Up to, she takes it to the next level. I think she's a little bit more relatable. I mean, even her bailiff is cool. I mean, she's just a cool chick. And a bailiff. I love a bailiff.
Wapner had Rusty.
Rusty Burrell.
Yeah. Rusty Burrell. And he was packing heat.
Yeah.
Okay, he was packing heat. What's the name of Judge Judy's bailiff?
I can't remember the bailiff, but he definitely strapped.
He's strapped there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Has he ever had to use it?
He doesn't need to because her tongue is killing him. I mean, she just speaks her mind. She's like the Simon Cowell of the courtroom.
Petrie Hawkins Bird is
the name
Judge
of the bailiff?
Judge Judy's bailiff.
I wonder how much he makes.
I was going to say, what do you think he's making?
What's our guess? If she's pulling down $47 million, is he getting $250?
According to Wikipedia, which I'm sure is right.
Oh, it's got to be accurate.
$1 million a year. He's worth $3.5 million.
That's
it. Yeah. That's it. Seriously, who come? You're the fake bailiff on a television show.
Hey, these people. Have you seen these people? You better be strapped, and there better be some bullets in the gun. This is not a Barney Fife situation in Judge Judy's courtroom. Okay.
Does he ever have to do anything? Does he?
Well, he's part of the show, though. I mean, I think he gives some funny reaction.
Does he
talk? No, I think it's more. Well, I'm sure he talks, but I mean, I think it's more of his.
So is he like John Batiste? Like Colbert?
Yes, just funny reactions.
Okay.
Funny
reactions. Okay, so there is some interaction. I thought he just was. Because Rusty, the bailiff, he never talked, did he? He just sat off to the side. I mean,
it says, of course, is one of the wealthiest bailiffs ever. Well, I would hope so. I would think so. I mean, I don't know.
Outside of Rusty, name me another bailiff.
Oh, Bull from Night Court.
Night Court. There we go.
Okay. One of the great catchphrases.
Yeah, another one. So they go to his Petri dish. That's his name now? Petri?
Petri Hawkins Bird.
Petri.
Better known as just simply Bird, I believe.
So Bird. So occasionally the camera will shoot and he'll
I think so. I'm sure if you YouTubed Bird reactions, there'd be a highlight reel. I'm sure I'm going to do it right now.
All right.
By the way, let's plug our video on our Facebook
page. Yes, let's do it right here.
Throwback Thursday video of the one time that I tried to do an outdoor show. It didn't go so well.
Yeah.
But you got to see it. It's about a minute and 10 seconds.
Right.
But well worth your time.
This is something I was not aware of when I started here. But Adam told me about it, and Adam finally decided to put this video out. He's held it back for a long time. It's been held up in a copyright. I think Judge Judy wanted to be a part of this. I think Petri wanted to be a part of it. But yes, Adam Carter very briefly had his own outdoor show. And if you watch the video, you'll find out why he doesn't have a second outdoor show. What worked and what did not work. Check it out today. Facebook.com/Chad Hartman Show. Two very different perspectives on what is taking place in St. Cloud. Reacting to a full, lengthy New York Times story. That's coming up after traffic and weather. So let me read parts of the first three graphs of this New York Times story. John Palmer is about to join us, and John is featured here in part of the story, along with Ekrem Elmaghi. And Ekrem is going to join us after we chat with John. Reading from the story, John Palmer, a former university professor, has always had a cause. For decades, he urged Minnesota officials to face the dangers of drunken driving and embrace seatbelts. Now he has a new goal, curbing the resettlement of Somali refugees in St. Cloud after a few thousand moved into this small city where Mr. Palmer has lived for decades. On Thursday, Mr. Palmer hosts a group called Concerned Community Citizens, or C-Cube, which he formed to pressure local officials over the Muslim refugees. Mr. Palmer said at a recent meeting he viewed them as innately less intelligent than the typical American citizen, as well as a threat. One quote from John Palmer, and then we'll bring in the conversation. The very word Islamophobia is a false narrative. A phobia is an irrational fear. Raising his voice, he added, an irrational fear, there are many reasons why we are not being irrational. John, is that a fair representation of what you said in the New York Times?
The quotes comment is a fair representation. The source document is not given. It simply reflected a report of the IQ by nation. That is to say, the IQ by nation. The phobia business is exactly, it's a made-up word. It is a made-up word, and if you take it literally, phobia is an irrational fear. How can someone living in St. Cloud be irrational when we had a terrorist attack occur at the major shopping center, the Crossroads Shopping Center, where the perpetrator asked people whether they were Muslim or Christian and called out Allah Akbar and stabbed 10 people? That's a fact. That happened.
That clearly happened. There's no denying that. We have had other individuals across this globe who are Muslims, and they have attacked others who don't believe in their faith. But, John, wouldn't you acknowledge that is an extraordinarily small percentage of those individuals who are of the Muslim faith? And so to blame all Muslims or all individuals from Somalia for what has happened.
John, let me finish.
Isn't that then a broad generalization against a huge amount of people for what one individual or other individuals have done? And I'm not defending their actions in any way.
I simply used it as an example. Certainly I'm not blaming. I'm pointing out that it is not irrational when you have admittedly a small percentage, you have a huge population of Muslims. When you take that percentage, that turns into a big number. Have you read Sword and Scimitar?
No, I have not.
By Robert Abraham?
No, sir.
That describes the 1400-year struggle between Christianity and Islam, where he selects the eight most significant battles that have occurred and how they affected history. There is a 1400-year violent conflict that has occurred between Christianity and Islam.
But many people, sir, who are of the Islamic faith are everyday citizens in this state and in this country and abroad and want no part of that conflict, want no part of that war. Doesn't mean we shouldn't have security concerns about all individuals among all religions, all faiths. But when we start having comments that other people have offered up. How about this quote from a member of the C-Cube, okay? Is it Liz Baklash? Do I have that right?
Yes.
Her quote, if our country becomes like Somalia, there's nowhere for us to go. Do you think the United States is close to becoming like Somalia?
Not in my lifetime. But your question is so broad as to be impossible to answer. The question is, will we be like Paris, France? Will we be like Sweden? Will we be like other locations where you have enclaves of people that might as well be living in a different setting and in a different country?
But, okay, I know Sweden had an attack, but really, you think Sweden has an enormous problem with violence?
Sweden has the highest rape rate in all of Europe.
What do you think should happen to those individuals who have come here to St. Cloud? So let me just finish. What should happen to those folks who have come here on a refugee program and are now living in St. Cloud? How should these individuals be treated?
Chad, have you read any of my writings?
No, I have not, sir. I was not familiar with you until I read this story today. And I'll be very honest. I found a lot of the comments that a lot of people made today very concerning.
I'll tell you that the reporter had an agenda, continues to have an agenda. I suggest you read what he writes. He is an ambush journalist who looks for, and to say what he said about me sitting at the Culver's couldn't be further from the truth.
Okay,
Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
I follow Fox News. I read my email. I do not visit xenophobic sites unless you consider Fox News to be xenophobic.
So let me read what he wrote about you. This is it. Astead Herndon, every weekday,
yes.
And this is, quote, talking about you, John. Every weekday, mm-hmm. He sits in the same pot at Culver's and begins his daily intake of news from xenophobic and conspiratorial sites such as jihadwatch.org. Tell me about jihadwatch.org.
I've never been on that site.
So that's just flat out false.
That's just flat out false. The other thing that's false is I'm not there every day. I'm there many days.
Well, that's kind of a minor point,
right? And in fact, I'm not even. Yeah, well, it's a significant point when you're trying to be portrayed as something you're not. I'm sitting on a downtown street in a resort community in Wisconsin, and I haven't been in Minnesota for the last 2.5 weeks. I live a life that is more than this gentleman chooses to prepare or portray. I suggest you go back and look at the resolution that CQ brought and look at the positive presentations that I have made to that community about the economic status of refugees. Refugees have been brought into a situation in which failure is inevitable. This has been reported for well over 15 years. Senator Lugar from Indiana in 2011, his staff produced a report called Abandoned Upon Arrival. When you read that report and you compare the situation to refugees in St. Cloud, they are the same.
So let me jump in, John.
My heart goes out to the refugees who are placed in a very difficult set of circumstances.
So let me just get in a couple last points because I'm a little short on time, and I do appreciate you coming on. So an individual is a refugee. He or she comes to St. Cloud. How should they be treated?
They should be treated with respect and dignity, which is what I do with all human beings.
But you have said you view them, Muslim refugees, innately less intelligent. That's fairly
different. I did not say that.
Okay, didn't you say that in our previous answer?
I said that the average IQ has reported internationally places that IQ well below the average IQ of a United States citizen.
But isn't that tough to quantify? But isn't that tough to quantify, sir? I mean, we have 315 million people in our country. There are billions of Muslims on the planet. Shouldn't we just judge people on their own, as opposed to like fellow Christians or like fellow Americans, as opposed to, hey, you're in this category, so I'm going to judge you in that same way?
The fact is, the response is, how do we respond? I did not denigrate people. I do not denigrate people. Anyone that knows me as a compassionate and caring person. And what I chose to do.
And you think you think C-Cubed, your group that you started, is compassionate and is treating these individuals with respect?
Absolutely.
John, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Let's pause here. Let's just get in a real quick break, Shaletta, and then we'll bring in Ekram into the conversation. If you want to chime in, you certainly can. 651-989-9226. With text, we also have the story posted on Facebook. You can comment right there. Short pause, and we'll come back with Ekram Elmaghi, who is a part of a different group in St. Cloud. Back in moments on CCO. All right, you heard John Palmer before, and I thank John for coming on. Ekram Elmaghi is now kind enough to join us here on WCCO. Ekram, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Do you want to react in any way to what Mr. Palmer had to say? I know you were able to hear a part of the conversation.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me. First of all, I appreciate
thank you
the opportunity that I've been given. It's my first time with WCCO. One of the things that I would like to say, what I just heard our previous conversation was that generalization, we don't generalize people at all, regardless of their race, their gender, their ethnicity. And one of the most Americanized that we can do is not judge, not generalize people as a group. I think our core values of being American is you judge people as individual. You don't generalize them as a group. And as I said before, I am a student at St. Cloud State University. I talk about this a lot. One of the things I always prove is that me as a Muslim woman from East Africa, I have nothing to do what 6,000 mile away, people 6,000 a mile away from here are doing. The terrorism thing. Don't label me as because of that name, because of we share the name, but we have nothing to do with one another. We have different core values. We're totally different. So generalization is one of the things that I think we should educate ourselves a lot, and that was one of the things that I would say that that gentleman who was talking about he was talking about the intelligence.
Yep,
I don't think. Yeah, and then when it comes to intelligence, there's a different strategy you could tell. But this is generalizing people and making that assumption that people because of that is I would totally disagree with that.
Mr. Palmer cited the attack at the mall, which was a tragedy, which was well covered, and his point was after that particular attack, he felt like the city had no choice. What do you say to that particular response?
Well, that one single event, it's not our response. The population of this city, the immigration population, is over 20,000 today. And what one single person has did, that doesn't mean the entire community will suffer the consequences what comes out of that event. As I said before in 2016, it's not that we're sorry about it, but we're not just apologizing for it. It's not for us. It's individual come from a community who understand that. At the same time, we have the most population in young people. Things will happen. But at the same time, that was one of the things that we kind of suffer. Where do we categorize? Where are we at this point? We learned so many things from that event. But that event, what happened at that mall, not going to respond us with hate, because literally what that little man has done it is one of the things that we always fight for. We're against that, any kind of hate. Our young people, we try to make sure that they get that message out there. But at the same time, we can't control everything. We are a huge community as any other community. Things will happen.
Yep.
But we just not responsible for that. It's been based on individualism.
Ekrem, in the story, your quote is saying, talking about St. Cloud, diversity without inclusion. Can you expand on that?
Yes. So, for example, I am a student at St. Cloud State University. The body wise of the St. Cloud State University student are diversity. We're diversity students. But at the same time, people that lead us in the higher administration leaders, the offices, the faculty are not enough people of color. So for me, as not just me as a black woman, but majority of all that diversity, people don't get to see themselves or don't see that demonstration when it comes to inclusion in that part. And the same thing in the companies in around St. Cloud, and which is so diverse in a community wise, but maybe people that lead us or offices or companies are not enough. We're not doing enough work to do the inclusion part. That's where I was coming from, actually.
Ekrem Elmaghi is with us. She is a 21-year-old. She resettled in St. Cloud from Somalia. She's been in St. Cloud for about 5 years. You talk about in the story at times you have been harassed also. Were these isolated incidents, a pattern? Are they getting worse? Can you just expand on that?
Well, people, the story that happened to me happened every single day in St. Cloud. I am a member of United Cloud Organization. Our mission and the core values are to fight against all kind of hate, against minority, against black people, against Muslim. We fight against all kind of hate. We advocate for unity in our community. We're trying to create that gap and that barriers around people that are different in our neighbors. So that's where actually I do most of my job and most of my work from the community-wise. Could you repeat your question?
I just wondered how often this has happened to you.
Yeah,
personally.
It happened to me. It was 3 months ago when I was helping one of the international students at the Social Security office in St. Cloud. And then there's Mel, who came to me and told me, go back to your country. You're here for money. And I said, first of all, I am not here for money. Second of all, you are not the person who gets to tell me where should I go, because you and ancestry come from somewhere. So we all come from somewhere. So you just don't judge me because I came here late, or I came here a century ago, or 4 centuries ago, or 10 centuries ago. It doesn't mean that I get to treat it like this. And then he said, you make St. Cloud look bad because of the way you look and who you are. Mm. And then I said, who I am. He told me, you are terrorism. And I said, I have nothing to do with what the terrorism is all about. I totally have no idea who they are. Maybe majority of the white individual that I talk to in our community are informed by social media, that they totally get the whole concept wrong. I've been educating so many people. I talk to people. I'm very open-minded. I'm willing to help or clarify any question, because my religion has been the most misunderstood religion on earth, specifically here in the United States. So these cases, hate happen all the time. St. Cloud is enough diversity, but it's divided by race.
Ekrem, I have to jump in. I'm up against heartbreak. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Ekrem Elmaghe. And before Ekrem, John Palmer. I am shaking my head at one text. One text says, well, you wouldn't allow the other side to speak this long. John was on for 9 minutes. Ekrem was on for 8 minutes. So, yes, the other side actually had a longer stretch, but fairly close. I want to react to what the two individuals had to say. Get your feedback. That's coming up right after CBS News.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.